Welcome to HNPod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and most heated debates from the front page of Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Saturday, April 11th, 2026, which means we are looking back at the biggest stories from yesterday, April 10th. And episode 362 is a really fun one. We have a great mix of geopolitics, cybersecurity, hardware hacking, and a little bit of game theory.
That is right. We are going to be talking about France making a massive move away from Windows and toward Linux, a sobering reality check about how the FBI is reading deleted Signal messages, a developer who took a literal metal file to their MacBook, and a surprisingly complex version of chess played in only one dimension.
Let us kick things off with what was easily the biggest conversation on the site yesterday. We actually had two separate stories hit the front page about this, pulling in well over 1,000 points combined. The French government has officially announced a plan to ditch Microsoft Windows for Linux on government computers.
This is a huge deal. The initiative is being driven by the French government's digital agency, DINAM, and the stated goal here is digital sovereignty. The French minister, David Amiel, put out a statement saying, "France needs to regain control of its digital destiny and reduce its reliance on U.S. tech companies."
Yeah, the TechCrunch article we read really highlighted the political backdrop here. With the geopolitical landscape shifting and the unpredictability of US sanctions and trade policies, European countries are getting very nervous about having their entire critical infrastructure tied to American corporate ecosystems. France is saying they can no longer accept not having control over their data, the pricing, or the underlying rules of their operating systems.
And they are not just stopping at the operating system. They are migrating their health data platform to a trusted domestic solution by the end of this year. And they already dropped Microsoft Teams in favor of a French-made tool called Visio, which is actually based on the open-source Jitsi platform.
The Hacker News comment section for this was exactly what you would expect. The top comment was basically, "Is the year of the Linux desktop finally here?" It's the oldest joke in the open source community, but people were pointing out that it actually feels a bit different this time around.
It really does. One commenter named Melatonic pointed out that we might be in an interim period waiting for a big player to emerge in the enterprise Linux space. If enough EU governments start switching to custom Linux distributions, there is a massive market opportunity for a European company to build a distro with proper enterprise management tools baked in, similar to Windows Group Policy.
The debate quickly shifted into a comparison of Windows jank versus Linux jank. A user named JJCM mentioned they switched to Linux as a daily driver this year. And while it has gotten a lot better, there is still a long way to go before things just work for the average non-technical user.
But then you had this great counterpoint from a user named Tombert, who argued that people are just so used to Windows being awful that they forget how much nonsense is associated with it. They pointed out that Windows has random registry corruptions, unprompted updates that brick your system, and built-in repair tools that basically never work.
Exactly. We are just conditioned to accept Windows breaking as a fact of life. Whereas when Linux breaks, we blame Linux. Another commenter mentioned that a fresh Windows 11 install these days is a nightmare of dark patterns and forced cloud accounts. With Linux, yes, you might have to drop into the terminal to fix a Wi-Fi driver, but at least the operating system is not actively trying to serve you advertisements in your start menu.
The gaming aspect came up a lot too. With Valve pushing SteamOS and Proton so hard over the last few years, the Linux desktop experience has quietly become incredibly robust. People were saying that if you install something like Fedora or Bazite today, the out-of-the-box experience for a power user is actually better than Windows.
It will be fascinating to see how France handles the rollout. Moving an entire bureaucracy off Microsoft Office and Windows is a monumental task. But if they pull it off, it could be the blueprint for the rest of the European Union.
Speaking of tech giants and privacy, let us move to our second story. This one comes from 404 Media, and it really shook up the security community on Hacker News. The FBI was able to retrieve deleted Signal messages from an iPhone by extracting data from Apple's internal notification database.
This is one of those stories that sounds like the encryption was broken, but when you look closer, it is actually a devastating lesson in operational security and usability. The case involved a defendant whose phone was seized by the FBI. The defendant had deleted the Signal app entirely, but the FBI was still able to read their incoming messages.
Right, and the way they did it is fascinating. When you get a message on Signal, the app sends a push notification to your phone. Apple's iOS receives that notification and displays it. What most people do not realize is that Apple maintains a hidden internal database of these notifications. Even after you delete the app, the historical logs of those notifications, including the text previews of the messages, can remain in that system storage.
The Hacker News comments really drilled into the usability problem here. By default, Signal has an option to hide message content in notifications. If you turn it on, your screen just says new message instead of showing the actual text. But that is not the default behavior for most people because it is annoying. People want to glance at their lock screen and see what their friends said.
A commenter named Up of a Down perfectly captured the frustration. They wrote out this hypothetical internal monologue of a user trying to be secure. The user thinks, okay, Signal has forward secrecy, so my messages are safe. But wait, I have to turn on disappearing messages. Okay, I did that. But wait, the messages are still in the OS notification log. Okay, I will just delete the app. But wait, the OS still kept the logs. At what point does the usability get so bad that we have to blame the ecosystem?
That is the core issue. Another user named Microtonal pointed out that end-to-end encryption is essentially a sham if the endpoints themselves are leaking data to unencrypted backups or system logs. They brought up the fact that Apple does not enable advanced data protection by default, and WhatsApp pushes users toward unencrypted cloud backups.
It is the ultimate loophole. The tech companies can say they offer end-to-end encrypted messaging, which keeps the privacy advocates happy, but they leave the default operating system settings in a state that allows law enforcement to easily recover the data through backups or notification caches.
It is also worth noting how push notifications work mechanically. When you delete an app, the server sending the notifications does not immediately know the app is gone, so it keeps pushing encrypted payloads to Apple's push notification service, which delivers them to the phone. Apple actually just changed how iOS validates push notification tokens in iOS 26.4, which might be a direct response to this exact forensic technique.
The takeaway for listeners is pretty clear. If you are using Signal for truly sensitive communications, you need to go into the app settings and disable message previews in your notifications. Otherwise, you are leaving a plain text paper trail deep inside your phone's file system.
Let's take a breath and pivot to something a little more hands-on. Our third story is a blog post by Kent Walters titled "Filing the Corners Off My MacBooks." And Sarah, he means this literally.
He really does. Kent wrote a sharp post showing pictures of his aluminum MacBook, where he has taken a rough metal file and completely ground down the sharp bottom edges where your wrists rest, and then finished it off with fine sandpaper.
The pictures are wild. You just see this pristine, expensive Apple hardware with a raw, sanded down custom bevel hacked into the front edge. Kent says the industrial design of the MacBook is beautiful, but the sharp corner was digging into his wrists. He believes strongly in customizing his tools, so he just clamped it to his workbench, taped off the speaker so aluminum dust would not get inside, and went to town.
I loved the reaction to this on Hacker News. A user named Jason Eckert showed the article to his coworkers and posted their reactions. One coworker wondered if it voided the warranty. Another said, "May Steve Jobs have mercy on their soul." But my favorite was the coworker who just said, "The only downside is you can no longer say, hey, that is a sharp-looking laptop."
Classic dad joke. But beneath the humor, there was a really deep discussion about ergonomics and the Apple design philosophy. Apple prioritizes these striking, clean geometric lines, sometimes at the expense of human comfort. A lot of people in the thread completely sympathize with Kent because those edges really do dig into your forearms if you type at a certain angle.
And then the thread took this fascinating technical turn. A user mentioned that they actually filed their MacBook down too, but not because of the sharp edge. They did it because of pitting. And this opened up a massive conversation about grounding.
Oh man, this was the most Hacker News tangent ever. So if you use a MacBook plugged into the wall with the standard two-prong power adapter, the laptop is not grounded to the earth. Because of the way the power supply suppresses electromagnetic interference, a tiny amount of current leaks through to the aluminum chassis.
Right. And if you lightly run your fingers over the palm rest while it is plugged in, you can actually feel this strange vibrating texture. It is the mains electrical frequency interacting with your nervous system.
Which is crazy to think about. But here's where it gets worse. For some people, depending on their body chemistry, their sweat is slightly acidic. The combination of acidic sweat and that constant tiny electrical current causes a galvanic corrosion effect on the aluminum. Over time, it eats through the anodized layer and creates microscopic pits along that sharp front edge.
And those pits turn that sharp edge into a literal microscopic saw blade that shreds your wrists. Multiple people in a thread chimed in to say they had this exact problem and had to buy a grounded 3-prong extension cable from Apple just to stop their laptops from electrocuting their sweat and eating the metal.
It is incredible what you learn in these comment sections. But back to Kent's original post, I just love the ethos. We treat these devices like sacred, untouchable artifacts because they are expensive and sleek. But at the end of the day, it is a tool. If the handle of your hammer gives you blisters, you wrap it in tape. If your laptop hurts your wrists, take a file to it. Make it yours.
I completely agree. Just maybe back up your data before you clamp your $2,000 computer to a workbench.
Fair point. All right, let us wrap up today's episode with a really fun one. A post titled 1D Chess by Rowan Monk.
This is a browser-based game that takes the standard rules of chess and squishes them down into a single row of 8 squares. You only have 3 pieces, a king, a knight, and a rook.
The rules are adapted to work in one dimension. The king can move 1 square forward or backward. The rook can move any number of squares in a straight line, just like normal. And the knight is the really clever one. It moves exactly 2 squares forward or backward, jumping over any piece in the middle.
The game is based on a concept first described by the legendary mathematician Martin Gardner back in a 1980 issue of Scientific American. You play as white against an AI, and the prompt asks if you can find the forced win for white, assuming optimal play.
It is surprisingly tricky for a board with only 8 squares, but the Hacker News comments were arguably more entertaining than the game itself. It sparked this whole discussion about minimalist games. A user named Haki Haki brought up something called Mind Chess.
Mind Chess is hilarious. It is a game played without a border pieces. 2 players face each other. 1 player says check. The other says check. This goes back and forth until one of them decides to say checkmate. That player superficially wins. But the actual metagame is to delay saying checkmate for as long as possible, while still saying it right before your opponent does.
It is essentially a pure psychological standoff. People were trying to figure out how you would even score that. Someone suggested the score doubles with every check, and whoever says checkmate claims the points. But if you say it too early, you look like a coward.
And of course, because Hacker News loves inside jokes, mentioning games you play in your head immediately triggered a cascade of people talking about the game.
Oh no.
Yes. For those who do not know, the game is a mind game where the only rule is that if you think about the game, you lose. The thread was just full of people devastated because they had been on multi-year winning streaks of not thinking about it, and this chess post ruined it for them.
So to any of our listeners who are currently winning, Sarah and I sincerely apologize. You just lost the game.
I am not sorry at all. It is the perfect internet hazard.
Well, on that note, I think that is a wrap for today. We covered a lot of ground, from the future of desktop Linux in Europe, to the hidden dangers of iOS notifications, to DIY MacBook ergonomics.
Thank you so much for joining us on HN Pod. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or colleague. We will be back tomorrow to break down whatever the Hacker News community is obsessing over next.
Stay safe, check your notification settings, and maybe put down the metal file. See you tomorrow.